Loving God, amidst the difficulties, amidst the uncertainties that we are all in right now, amidst the anxieties, amidst the fear that has gripped most people's hearts, we pray that we would be most scared of being found to be pretenders. Because more dreaded than this virus that has changed the lives of everyone in the world is to face you and hear from the lips of our Savior, "Depart from me, I never knew you." May it never be, O God. May it never be. We pray that by your grace, through the ministry of your Spirit, in partnership with your truth, that we would be found to be lovers of God, lovers of your word, genuine believers, followers, not just fans. We pray, Lord, that you would minister to our scared hearts. And may we, Lord, by your grace, be people to be known, to be living out our faith, fearless, fearing only you, wanting only to please you. And so, as your church, as your people, as your children, as kids, anticipating words of wisdom, sweet words of encouragement from their Father, we pray that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Preach to us, O God, preach to our hearts, and may we, Lord, be encouraged, may we be driven, may we be rebuked, may we be lifted up from any or every disappointments and discouragements that we may all be in. We love you, we praise you, we honor you. There is our heart's cry with much thanksgiving in Christ's most precious name. Amen and amen. Good morning, everyone. Masaya po akong makita kayo. To those who are joining us online, we praise the Lord for you. We are going back to our study on this lengthy psalm, Psalm 119, and we are now in the third letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the letter Dalet. Ito yung corresponding D ng ating English alphabet. And we said, being an acrostic psalm, we know that each stanza starts with a corresponding letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so every line of this 8-verse-long stanza starts with the respective letter. Now we go to Dalet. So kung titingnan niyo po ito sa original language, every line starts. Every word ng line na ito, ng 8 verses ito, starts with the letter Dalet. Let us observe the text and how each line again mentioned God's word, descriptive words to refer to God's word. Look at verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. Verse 26. Teach me your statutes. Verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts. I will meditate on your wondrous works. 28. Strengthen me according to your word. 29. Graciously teach me your law. 30. I set your rules before me. 31. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord, O Yahweh. 32, I will run in the way of your commandments. So nakita natin every line mentions descriptive words to refer to the Word of God. And as we have been learning, Psalm 119 is about the ministry of the Word of God to the believer of God. Tingnan niyo ulit yung Bible niyo. Tingnan niyo yung stanza na ito. We would look at a sort of progression na structure sa stanza na ito. Look at verse 25. It reads, "My soul clings to the dust." The writer starts this stanza with depression, with discouragement, with desperation. How did the stanza end? Look at verse 32. "I will run in the way of your commandments. When you enlarge my heart, when you gladden my heart," it ends with celebration. It ends with jubilation. The stanza starts with desperation, with discouragement, and ends with a shout of praise because God has lifted His burdens. God has gladdened His heart. God has enlarged His heart. And when we read that phrase, "God has enlarged my heart," it's not speaking of the physical illness. Okay? It is a metaphor of gladness, of jubilation, of celebration. And so what we have right now before us, this Dallas stanza, the writer is showing us the ministry of God's Word mentioned in all 8 verses to encourage the down and out. To encourage, to lift up the burdens of those who are discouraged. When you are at the lowest moments in your lives, turn to God's Word, is what the writer is saying. We see the writer is in a difficult situation. We have learned that in the previous stanza, right? And so, let me just ask you right now, are you discouraged? Chances are you are because of the pandemic. Are you scared? Are you anxious? Dear ones, let me invite you now to open your Bibles to this stanza, the Dallas stanza. And if you're able to, in this sanctuary, to stand with me, kindly stand with me to honor God's Word as we read Psalm 119, verses 25 to 32. Psalm 119, verse 25 to 32. "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart." The word of the Lord. You may now take your seats. There is this story. May kwento po tungkol kay Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, in one of their gatherings in New Park Street Chapel, which later on became the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, which he pastored for 38 years, there was a story wherein they were gathered in their Sunday worship, and when the reading of Scripture came, Charles Spurgeon went up the pulpit and said this, I quote, "Some have found fault in me, contending that I'm too old-fashioned. I am always quoting the Bible and do not say enough about science. Well, there's a poor widow here who lost her only son. She wants to know if she will ever see him again. Let's turn to science. Then for the answer. Will she see him, science?" he asked. "Where is he, science? Does death and all science?" Then he took a long pause. Then he said, "We are waiting for an answer, science. This woman is anxious. Then another pause. Longer. This time. Nothing to say, science? Then we'll turn to the book of all books, the Bible, and we will hear from God Himself what this poor widow needs to hear for comfort for heart and comfort for soul. He then began to cite joyous promises of God about heaven and the assurance that a believer has in Christ. Siguro nakaka-identify tayo dito sa widow na ito. Because in one way or another, we have faced difficulties. We have faced trials. We are in one right now. We are on our third lockdown. Di ba? And there are so many options right now laid before us to bring us comfort. But only one offers peace. Only one offers real and true, genuine comfort for our soul. As Spurgeon said 100 years ago, we would be reminded by this psalmist who wrote of the same conviction thousands of years ago about the only source of encouragement that you and I will ever have, and that is God's Word. Friends, the Bible can encourage the discouraged. The Bible is able to comfort the crushed. It is able to empower the weak, satisfy the empty. This book is a living book that brings living comfort to those who cling to the dust. Just like what the psalmist said, who clings to the dust and is able to get them up and about and running from dust into running, from mourning into dancing. Martin Luther said this about the Bible: the Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. Friends, there is no other book in the entire universe that can pick you up and speak to your troubled heart and lead you to the path where you need to be. That is what we see in this stanza. Friends, I cannot overemphasize the importance of the Word of God to the child of God. Call me repetitive. Call me makulit. But that is the truth. It is just sad that believers profess to be believing in the Word of God, yet think that is not relevant today as it was before, looking elsewhere for comfort. Hebrews 4, verse 12 to 13 says, "For the Word of God is living and active. It is always relevant, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." Ang salita ng Diyos ay buhay. The Word of God is alive. It will always be relevant. It's not outdated. Hindi nalalaos ang salita ng Diyos. Heaven and earth will fade, but Your Word will remain. It is authoritative. It is powerful. And it can pierce through everyone's heart and expose every one of us and lay us bare before the Lord. It can lift us up when we are troubled, when we are dismayed. Again, friends, such was the case of the writer of Psalm 119. He was depressed. Last stanza, we saw he was being attacked physically. But now, in the stanza, we see that it is an ongoing, relentless struggle that he has. He was depressed and he felt helpless, yet he prayed for God's Word. And remember the context. He is being persecuted for him living out God's Word. Thus he cried out, "More of God's Word, more of You, Lord." But now in this stanza, we are given a glimpse as to how difficult it was for him. His situation was not altered from stanza to stanza. But we would see him wanting God and His Word not to change his circumstances, but to change his heart. The psalmist is down. The psalmist is discouraged. He may be experiencing a life and death situation. Listen to his pleas. My soul clings to the dust. Verse 25. Verse 28. My soul melts away for sorrow. He is at the end of himself and has nowhere to turn to but to God. He is determined to draw near to God, and he is confident that as he cries out to God and wants more of God's word, he knows that it would comfort him. He knows that God's word would turn his mourning into dancing, would lift him up as he is now clinging, cleaving to the dust to make him run after the way of faith. And so we ask, in this difficult situation, what are the steps that he took for him to gain spiritual freedom? We would see that in Psalm 19, 25 to 32. And this is the outline. As we go through this stanza, we will be seeing three things that you should ask God in times of spiritual weakness. Tatlong mga bagay na dapat mong hilingin, ipanalangin sa Diyos kung ikay nababagabag, kung ikay pinanghihinaan ng loob. Verse 25-27, ask the Lord for revival and for understanding. Ask the Lord for revival and for understanding. Verse 28-29, we would hear the writer asking the Lord for strength and guidance. So should we ask the Lord for strength and guidance in times of spiritual weakness? Last three verses, we would see that we should ask the Lord to keep us from shame and to gladden our hearts. Three things that we should ask God in times of spiritual weakness. Tignan natin yung unang hiniling ng manunulat na ito. He asked the Lord for revival and for understanding. Look at verse 25 to 27. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. Again, discouraged ang manunulat. He feels helpless. See that phrase? So verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. That's a beautiful word picture there to describe for us anong kalagayan ng writer. You see, dust, abo, in the ancient Near East, depicts sorrow, depicts pain, depicts anguish. Notice it reads soul, my inner man. This is not talking about just a physical anguish, physical hurt. It's more than that. He's saying, my whole being is in sorrow. In the last stanza, he mentioned the physical threat. Diba? Na mayroon na nakabanta sa kanya. Diba sabi niya, princes, mga prinsipe are plotting against me. This time, he's speaking of the spiritual and emotional struggle that he is experiencing. It reads, my soul clings. Alam niyo yung salitang cling? You could find it elsewhere. Genesis 2:24, where we read, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast and cleave to his wife. That word cling is the same word that was used for the relationship between a man and a woman na hindi pwedeng paghiwalayan. The picture that the writer wants to project is that he is in a difficult situation, in a desperate situation. He is cleaving to dust. In fact, he feels like he is dust. Na hindi siya pwedeng mahiwalay sa pigating mayroon siya. He is devastated. He feels so low. I cleave to dust, sabi niya. Listen to Spurgeon as he comments on this. Sabi ni Spurgeon, whatever was the cause of his complaint, it was no surface evil, but an affair for his inmost spirit. His soul cleaved to the dust. And it was not a casual and accidental falling to the dust, but a continuous and powerful tendency or cleaving the earth. Have you had those? Surely we do. Surely we have. Diba? In this pandemic? In fact, even before the pandemic, we've had those. Wherein we were worried, sick. We were worried. We were so anxious of our situation. Personally, I was in such a situation last month. Remember, second Sunday of July, I wasn't here. And it was announced that I was undergoing some lab tests. Minention pa to the echo, right? They actually did three tests on me. May 2D echo ako, may ECG, and full abdominal ultrasound. What prompted, you may ask, these tests? And these are confirmatory tests because there was a previous test. Kasi meron kaming annual physical exam for our health permit sa church. And so my first examination, ang impression na nilabas ng x-ray at ng ECG is that I have enlarged heart. Sakto, no? Right? And so for 2 weeks, when I found that out, I was stressing out. Siguro na-internalize ko maigi dahil alam ko. For 2 weeks, I was struggling. I had chest pains. I couldn't sleep. I felt like I was dying. I was actually thinking about my family, thinking about the church. But I praise the Lord for my wife, and we decided to change my diet. So I decided, after learning about the enlarged heart or the impression of enlarged heart, I changed my diet. I started exercising more. We went to the cardiologist. Siya yung nag-utos na magkaroon ng confirmatory exam. But again, friends, there were episodes when I felt like I was dying because I was thinking too much of my condition, enlarged heart. Natakot talaga ako. Don't get me wrong, I'm very secured where I will go. If in God's providence, I would die. But the pain of leaving my wife and daughter was eating me up. I think in one way or another, we had those times, diba? We were gripped by fear, especially now in the pandemic. When it felt like we are cleaving to the dust, the writer felt that way. Perhaps he was in even more pain that I felt, that you may be feeling. Consistent po yun. You need to understand 176 verses talking about the ministry of God's Word. Woven all throughout these 22 stanzas is yung kanyang struggle and how God's Word was very helpful. The writer felt that way. He struggled. Perhaps mas masakit pa sa supposedly enlarged heart. By the way, in 2D echo po and the other test said I had normal-sized heart. Okay, so in a way, God gladdened my heart. You see, friends, the writer was down and out. And we can identify with him. Because we have those. Yung feeling mo mamatay ka na, yung feeling mo walang pag-asa, when it's all hopeless and helpless. What did he do? In all sincerity and honesty, he went to God and prayed. And what did he pray for? Didn't you, verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. I'm in a desperate situation. It feels like this struggle is not going to leave me. He said, give me life. Now, by life here, he doesn't mean physical life. Yes, in the previous stanza, he asked to be dealt bountifully by the Lord that he might live. right? And we said he was facing physical danger. So what does he mean by him asking for life? His soul is in sorrow. His soul is in anguish. Thus he asked to be given life, to be revived in his spirit, to be encouraged in his soul. He prayed that the Lord would revive him. Lord, renew me. Lord, I'm in a desperate situation. Renew me, revive me, encourage me, is what the writer is saying. And take note that as he prayed for revival, as he prayed for encouragement, he did not ask for his circumstance to change. We do not read, my soul clings to us, give me life, move and deal with my enemies, O God. No. But he asked to be restored according to your word. In fact, in verse 28, he echoes the same plea. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me, revive me, give me life. Encourage me according to your word. Anong pinapanalangin niya? He is praying for God's strength, for God's comfort, for God's consolation. And it comes, listen, through the ministry of the word of God in his life. Dear ones, we need to understand that for God to encourage us in difficult situations, it never comes out of a vacuum. Hindi po pwedeng nalulungkot ka, biglang zazap ka ng Diyos, then you're okay, you're well, you're encouraged. No, it doesn't work that way. It never occurs just like a zap. It happens according to the ministry of the Word of God by the power of the Spirit of God. And friends, itong theme ng revival, itong reviving ministry ng salita ng Diyos in times of trouble is mentioned everywhere in this lengthy chapter. Let me share with you some. Turn your Bibles to 119:37. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Verse 40. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. In your ways of righteousness. Verse 88. In your steadfast love, give me life. List this down. Verse 93, 107, 149, 154, 156, 159. Again and again in this lengthy chapter, when we are down and out, the writer reminds us that we need God's word. We need the word of God that God uses through the power of the Holy Spirit to revive our souls. Again, friends, he is in a difficult situation. Right? So, pwede nating sabihin, let me just share with you some of my thoughts. He is in a difficult situation, and when we are in a difficult situation, we tend to justify things, to give in to temptations, to give in to, why will I waste my time in God's Word? I will find ways to alleviate the pain. He could have justified things, diba? He's suffering anyways. He could have justified, I will be wavering in my faith. Ang hirap eh. But he understands the importance of the Word of God in times of difficulties. Let me talk to us. So many of us make excuses and justifications. I'm going through some rough times, so I can't be consistently in the Word. Give me a break. Ang hirap eh. Magbabasa pa ako. But the more that life gets hard, the more that we ought to be embracing God's Word. Bakit? Where will you get your comfort from? Sa mundo? Sa Facebook? Sa Twitter? Instagram, perhaps? And there are also those who think that a change of circumstance would be the key to being restored. Maybe getting rich. Mahirap ang buhay, sana yumaman ako. Or maybe having a boyfriend or a girlfriend because you're lonely. A lifetime partner, perhaps, would be the answer to my loneliness. I'm not saying that they cannot be an answer, but it's not always the answer to our discouragements. The writer knew that. Thus, he asked to be revived with the absolute truth of God's Word. Kailangan niya ng pagbabago ng puso, hindi pagbabago ng sitwasyon. A change of heart is always the best thing that one can pray for rather than to change the circumstances or to take away the pains and hurts. That is our tendency, right? Diba? If God is sovereign and He is, you are in the perfect place that you are in right now. Para saan? For your preparation and for your sanctification. Is it drawing you closer to God? Is it drawing you closer to His Word? Sinasabi ng writer, ang deepest longings natin, ang deepest desires natin, can be addressed and answered by the promises and encouragements of God found in His Word. Here we see the sufficiency of God's Word in the life of a believer. Diba? Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Such was the conviction of the writer of Psalm 19. Thus we hear him say in verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. When you are down and troubled and you need a helping hand, hindi ako kakanta. Inasmuch as we know that song, or maybe you got a friend who wants to say, I'll always be here, it's not a guarantee that they would always be there. Diba? But God and His Word would always be there for you. The Bible is always there. It's accessible nowadays, diba? You can have it on your phones. You can easily buy one. Let me just ask you by way of hands, is there anyone here who doesn't have a Bible? Elder Abel will buy one for you. Puntahan nyo lang po siya. Study Bible pa gusto nyo. I hope you're getting this. The Bible is what we need. God's Word is what we need in trying times. It can revive your soul. It can give you wisdom. It can rejoice your heart. Can enlighten your eyes. And it will endure forever. That is what we see in verse 25. Verse 25 pa lang tayo. Verse 26 tells us that the writer laid bare everything as he approached God for help. Sabi sa verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. Give me life, O God, according to your word. Verse 26, when I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Ang idea behind that phrase, I told of my ways, or I have declared my ways, is that the psalmist told everything to God. Wala siyang tinago. He laid bare everything about his life, what's going on with him. He confessed fully and freely before God. He had cast all his burdens to the Lord. He has told of his ways that have taken him in this situation that he's in right now. The persecution, perhaps. The slander, perhaps. The ridicule, perhaps. Or maybe not just the hurts. Maybe even his tendencies. The anger perhaps, the doubting perhaps. When I told of your ways, the writer lays bare everything to the Lord, and it reads, you answered me. Isn't that encouraging that when you go to God and you pray unto Him, that He answers you? Diba? Listen, our God is a prayer-answering God. He is near the brokenhearted. He hears the cries of His people. Even when you don't feel like He is hearing you or He can hear you. When you're going through dark providences in your life, He is closer than you think. When you cry out to Him, He will answer you. That is what He says in verse 26. And He still can do the same for you right now. Have you laid yourself bare before the Lord? Alam nga niya kung gaano karami ang buhok mo, let alone what you are going through. The omniscient God who knows everything wants to hear from you. And when you do cry out to Him and lay yourself bare, He will answer you. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Then He goes on to say, teach me your statutes. That is staggering. He understands that God's word can encourage him. The writer asks for God to teach him more. Kasi alam natin, when difficulties are there, it's so hard to understand, di ba? Even though you read the Bible, and so that is what we see here. God answered him. God revived him and encouraged him. And that is according to God's word. Now the writer is asking, God, kindly teach me your statutes. And God's word, friends, will strengthen you and will help you make sense of life and the difficulties we are facing. And now, this writer, he has been revived by God's word, and he desires more of God's word. I wonder if the same can be said about us. Is God's word enough to revive you, to encourage you? Is God's word enough to talk sense into your feeble mind? I sure hope so, because God's word is indeed more than enough. O baka naman sa iba tayo pumunta. I pray that we are as devoted as this writer, desiring to know more of God even when life is difficult. He desired to know God's word deeper and deeper. Help me to know more of you, he said. Help me to know more of your life-changing ways, life-reviving word. He wants to master the Word of God so that the Word of God can master him. And he said in the last section of this heading, verse 27, and make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. May tanong po ako sa inyo. Ano po ba ang pinaka-wonderful na works na alam ninyo? Is there any other wonderful work than the wondrous work of God in the life of His people? That is the reason why we need to be reading God's Word. When you go to God's Word, you see how God moved in the lives of His people. Then you would be certain that He would do the same for you. Because the God of the people of the Old Testament is the same God whom we worship today. Can you point me to something better? Something that is of eternal value? Let me ask you, is there any other good news better than the greatest news of all that we have in the perfect life, sacrificial death, and bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ang problema madalas sa atin para tayong mga bata, nasa dining table, puno ng pagkain, then we ask our parents, give me some chips. And as a parent, diba? Myself, I know that no parent in his right or her right mind would give anything to or something to his or her kid na walang nutritional value. At times, we are like kids who wants junk food rather than the good food, the good hot meal that mom made for you. Kasi ang appetite natin longs for the junk of the world rather than the truth found in God's Word. Friends, start reading your Bibles. Start feasting on the wondrous saving work of Jesus Christ. Feast on the written Word of God. Feast on the truths about the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And friends, I don't want you to miss this. It is a means of grace that God has given us His Word to live by, to revive us when we're down and out. Pero napansin ninyo, Diyos pa rin ang may biyaya. It is still God who enables all of us to see and understand and savor His Word. Ang galing ng Diyos nyo. Ang galing ng Diyos natin. What grace, what love, what a beautiful Savior we serve. When life is difficult, when you are discouraged, when you feel like you're down and out, go to God and ask Him to revive you and to give you understanding. This leads us to the next heading. Look at verse 28-29 as we see the writer asking the Lord for strength and guidance. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. Now you may ask, teka lang, sabi kanina, you answered me. I thought God heard him already and answered him already. Diba? Why does he sound dismayed again in verse 28? In fact, let's consider the language that he used. My soul melts away for sorrow. Perhaps the problem surrounding him was overwhelming, diba? That it made his soul heavy, and that is true, I believe. But isn't it that when we are revived, diba? This through to life. When we are down, and we ask the Lord for encouragement, and when we feel like we are being encouraged already, diba, bigla tayo mag-slip back into depression? When we are revived and we are on our way to being encouraged, when God has come to our rescue, we often find ourselves come slipping and crashing down again. And so this is honesty here. Diba? In the sight of the writer. He is not yet completely raised from the dust. Thus we hear him say, my soul melts away for sorrow. And that word sorrow speaks of grief. Dalamhati. In fact, it means an emotion of great sadness associated with loss or bereavement. This is the kind of sadness that a broken-hearted man, a broken-hearted widow, knows. This tells us as well that the trouble is real. Ongoing, persistent, relentless sa buhay nitong writer. He is wounded. He has an emotional heaviness and he calls out again to the Lord in essence what he cried out. So verse 25, give me life according to your word. Now verse 28, strengthen me according to your word. The writer understands that he cannot do it on his own. That he needs a continuous, ongoing help coming from the Word of God through the power of the Spirit of God. That deliverance and encouragement comes from God and God alone, not from you on your own. So this is emphasizing again the significance of Scripture in times of struggle and so on. Minsan kasi ang tendency natin pag mayroong problema, Tapos tingin natin, sinagot na, nasa na ang Bible reading. The psalmist bears his soul to the Lord, declaring, "My soul melts away for sorrow." He's crying out, but he knows that there's medicine for his soul. Salita ng Diyos. To strengthen him according to God's word. If there is to be true and lasting strength, dear ones, that will enable you to rise above the difficulties and keep on keeping on, if there is to be a sure and enduring power to lift you up when you're cleaving to the dust, it will only come through the truth found in God's word. Sana encouraging sa atin ito. Itong section na ito. As you may be going through some struggles right now, some difficulties, or when you will face struggles in the future, that we need the enduring ministry of God's word to help us in those times when we find ourselves slipping back into depression after God has revived us. Notice verse 29. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. Alam niyo po, nung binasa ko to, I was asking, why is he praying this? Diba? Consider this. If you are praying that you will have a greater sense and understanding of the Word of God in the most difficult situations that you're in, one of the ministries of the greater understanding of the Word of God is that it would bring about a greater understanding of your own heart and soul. The Bible is pictured as a mirror, diba? In James chapter 2. And the more you study and understand the Bible, it is like looking into a mirror. You're able to see your heart and soul, even though you're going through some struggles. Kasi when you're going through some struggles, you tend to look outside, then inward. That's what's happening here. He asked for more of God's word in difficult situations. And now he is seeing his own heart and soul laid bare through the lens of Scripture. Let me just say, friends, the more I study the Bible, the more I realize I don't know the Bible that well. And the more I read the Bible as it straightforwardly discuss about sin, it feels like the writer was thinking about my own heart. Diba? Diba sa pulagi tayo? Hindi lang kayo, pati ako. Kaya huwag niyo akong pagbintangan. As we open the pages of Scripture, it's as if our lives became an open book. Diba? Kagaya ng sinabi ko sa atin kanina, before, we read other books. This book reads us. As we are immersed into the knowledge of God, found in the Word of God, we learn more of ourselves. When we look at Him and see Him as holy, we see our own unholiness. Diba? The light of Scripture exposes our own sinfulness. Even though we feel like we are going through some struggles and I'm doing well, I'm living out God's Word. And as we look at verse 29, we can take it with the flow of thought of the writer that he is now made aware of his sin in his life, even though he's going through some struggles. The more you get closer to the light, there will be more exposure of the undesirable things in your life. Siguro, as he was going through some struggles, just like us, even though we're in the right, there are times that we have pride in our hearts, diba? And so, dear ones, kindly take note of the ministry of the Word of God in the life of the writer. He was suffering for his faith, desired to grow more in the faith, desired to know more of God through His Word, and that led him to a better understanding of his own sinfulness, of his own wretchedness. Amidst him being wrong, he was made humble and was shown his sinful tendencies. Thus he prayed, verse 29, "Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law." Again, did you notice he did not pray for God to remove the false ways of those who were attacking him? Kainong false ways? My false ways. He prayed, "Please remove false ways far from me." He was praying unto God to remove habits of sins, remove attitudes of sins, remove desires of sins. And all this is in the context of him struggling and in a difficult situation. Again, kagaya sinabi ko kanina, it's so easy for us to justify at times our own sinfulness just because we're going through some difficult times. Intindihin niyo ako. I'm going through some rough times. Not the writer. As he laid himself bare, as he desired more of God's word, and as God's word opened his heart and exposed his own sinfulness, thus he prayed, "Please, Lord, take these away. And graciously teach me. Graciously teach me your law." Ang sinasabi po niya, may there be an increase of my own understanding of my own sinfulness. Let there be an increase of my own understanding of your holiness. He was saying, "Teach me your law." Other renderings say, "Grant me your law. Give me a clear perception of the holy character of God as revealed in Scripture, so therefore I would follow that path. Give me a greater sensitivity to sin in my own life, not their lives, as they are persecuting me. No, my own life. Give me a greater understanding of my own life, sins in my life. Give me a greater passion to read your word, to study your word. Give me a greater conformity to this law." The psalmist asked for grace to guide his walk. Diba? Gusto ng psalmist, tanggalin ng Diyos ang lahat ng mali sa buhay niya habang mali ang ginagawa sa kanya ng iba. Wow. Only God's word can do that. The necessity of the power of God's word is so amazing, don't you think? Not only does it change the way we think, it changes the way we live. Sana mga kapatid, as we go through some struggles, we ask the Lord for revival. We ask the Lord for understanding. I pray that we ask the Lord for strength. I pray that we ask the Lord for guidance because we have our blind spots to show us, to put away, to remove all false way far from me and teach me your law. And this leads us to the last and final heading. Verse 30 to 32, we hear the writer asking the Lord to keep him from shame and to gladden his heart. "I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart." Yung final three verses, all commentaries I have consulted, find these three as one unit. And they said that we see here the declarations of commitments, the determination, the devotion of the writer unto the Lord. And it's easily found with those personal pronouns. And we find four. "I have chosen. I set your rules. I cling to your testimonies. I will run in the way." Yes, it's still in the tone of prayer, as we see him asking to not be put to shame, but that was his plea in these last verses. It speaks of what he is determined to do for God to grant him this request. So what is it that we must determine in our hearts, in our soul, to go hard after in our pursuit of God? What is our role? Anong role natin? Here in this section, we would see that the partnership of God's the sovereignty of God's word and God and our own responsibility. What is it that he needs to determine to live a life without shame and with gladness of heart? Listen to the writer again. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. Pansin niyo. He is determined to run the race now, as he mentioned in verse 32. Let me remind you of how this stanza started again. Verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. He is down and out. But now he has been revived. He has been raised up by God's grace through God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit. And now he is pressing forward. Having asked God to put false ways far from him, the psalmist now makes a pledge with firm resolve. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. Not only was there a removal of the sinful way, there is now an addition of the faithful way. In other words, it is not enough to just remove sin in your life. There must be an addition of righteousness and faithfulness in our lives. He shared his way in verse 26. He rejects false ways in verse 29. Now, he will pursue with determination the faithful way, the way of faithfulness. What do we see here? God's sovereignty in reviving the soul of his people, but the obligation and the responsibility of the believer to pursue this, to determine this. I've chosen the way, I set your rules, I cling to your testimonies, I will run. We need to ask then, bakit tinawag na way of faithfulness? Because God is faithful to those who choose this way. God is faithful to His promises to His people. And may I just say that this faithful way is the narrow way where few are found. This is the only way that leads to life. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. And said, I set your rules before me. Having chosen the way of faithfulness, as he is being revived now by God from his discouragement, he now declares, I set your rules before me. Ano yung sabihin nun? Naiintindihan ng writer ang importansya ng salita ng Diyos. So, he's determined to have God's word ever before him, ever before his eyes to see and read and understand, ever before his heart to love and adore, ever before his feet for a path to follow. He understands that God's word is his compass, it's his guide. In our context, God's word is his GPS that he needs for him to not get lost. Pag sinabi ng salita ng Diyos dito, dun siya. Even though others say, go the other way. He is saying, I will trust your word amidst the fog and the haze of life because of difficulties. And you see that word set? I set your rules. Literally in the original language, that means to account something of great value. To render something as valuable, as precious, as exceedingly precious. Sabi niya, pinili ko po ang landas ng katapatan, ng pananampalataya. Inilagak ko sa harapan ko ang inyong mga utos. Now, in verse 31, he says, I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, let me not be put to shame. What a turnaround, don't you think? Verse 25, our songwriter's soul clings to the dust. Here he is determined to cling, hold on to the testimonies of God. Kaina, he's clinging to dust. Ngayon, gusto niya, I would cling to your testimonies. He's now restored by the grace of God and now declares that he will consistently, continuously, and passionately cling to God's testimonies. At napansin niyo po, This is the first time we read our favorite word, favorite name, capital, all caps, L-O-R-D. Though he felt as if death had a strong grip on his soul, he proclaims, I will have a stronger grip on your testimonies, O Yahweh. This is the personal, covenantal name of God appearing here only in this stanza. Life's circumstances may tempt me to lose my grip on things, but I will choose to grab hold of my Lord and His Word and never let go. He will give me life, verse 25. He will strengthen me, verse 28. He will teach me, verse 26 and 29. Then he said, let me not be put to shame. Again, what's going on here? This man understands that apart from God's Word, he will fail and fail again. Thus, with determination, he is trusting. Thus, with determination, he renders a sweet plea, let me not be put to shame. And such prayer would be granted by the faithful Yahweh to those who find their way in the faithful way, to those who cling to the testimonies of the ever-faithful covenantal covenant-making, covenant-keeping Yahweh. Though others may fail him, God will not. He will not let me down ever. Galing, di ba? Look at the last verse. Notice his last determination. I will run in the ways of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Itong stanza na to, nagtapos sa isang commitment at isang confidence. There is an eagerness to honor the Lord made evidenced by His promise. I will run in the way of your commandments. Hindi lang lakad. I won't just walk. I will run. There would be passion. There would be joy. There would be enthusiasm for you, O God, and your word. For you, Yahweh, O faithful one, and your faithful word. And I acknowledge, do this. Still dependent on you. Napansin niyo, kailan siya mag-run? When you enlarge my heart. It's telling us his pursuit, his determinations again is dependent on how God ministers to him. All of this will come to fruition when you gladden my heart. I will run in the way of your commandments dependent on when, not if, you enlarge my heart. Ang idea po rito is the Lord lifts the burdens of life through soaking in His Word. The writer is saying, my heart is set free from difficulties and troubles and I'm released to run hard after my God and His way. Listen to Spurgeon. Sabi ni Spurgeon, the feet soon run when the heart is free and energetic. Let the affections be aroused and eagerly set on divine things and our actions will be full of force, swiftness and delight. God must work in us first, and then we shall will and do according to His good pleasure. Our running is a spontaneous leaping forward of a mind which has been set free by the hand of God. This is telling us that we cannot determine to pursue God unless God pursues us, unless God moves in our hearts, unless God gladdens or enlarges our hearts. And so friends, in these 8 verses, when you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand, this seems to be the theme of the stanza, di ba? Pero rather than mention a secular song, let me read, hindi kakantena, let me read to you a gospel song that complements this stanza better. Alam niyo ng ilan sa inyo to? But did you know that this song was written by a son to comfort his mother in troubling times? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with load of care? With a load of care, precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find our solace there. When you are troubled, when you are weak, ask the Lord to revive you. Ask the Lord to give you understanding. Ask the Lord to strengthen you. Ask the Lord to guide you. Ask the Lord in your determinations to not put you to shame, but never forget that it is only through the ministry of His grace touching you and reaching out to you that you cannot be put to shame and that He would gladden your heart. Are you troubled? Are you weary? God's Word is where we find our comfort. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your Word, a light to guide us, a counselor to counsel us, a comforter to comfort us, a staff to support us, a sword to defend us, a physician to cure us. We pray, Lord, that we would find the courage to even admit, Lord, our sin of not even desiring your Word in difficult times. Be grace upon your people, O God. Give us the strength, deepen our faith, to trust you and your Word. Would we trust the world? May it never be, O God. May you find each and every one of us, especially in these difficult, trying times, to be more in your Word, to be feasting on your promises, to be delighting our hearts in the living Word, in Jesus Christ our Lord. For us to be lifted when we cling to the dust, and for us to run with determination to pursue you with gladdened and enlarged hearts. Thank you for what you have accomplished today through your Word. We pray that you would bless us as we depart this place temporarily. May God, who is infinitely, eternally, and unendingly good and faithful, find each one of us having these determinations to run to God and run to His Word in difficult and trying times. May we be the good news that people need to see and hear in these trying times. May He empower us to live lives worthy of the calling that He has called us. Wherever we are, whatever we do, wherever we go. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, Amen.